If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to Judges chapter 15. Now, I'm going to do something today as you turn there. We're going to try to get through this whole chapter. All right, now, I know that it's only 20 verses, but there's a lot here. And I know you guys probably don't want me preaching on Samson for like 6 months or something, right? So we're going to do the whole chapter in 15, and it really sets the stage for some, there's some good stuff in here. So Judges 15, let's read 1 through 5, but just stay in the whole chapter today. We're going to be reading the whole chapter. So it says this: after some days, at the time of wheat harvest, Samson went to visit his wife with a young goat. And he said, "I will go into my wife in the chamber." But her father would not allow him to go in. And her father said, "I really thought that you utterly hated her. So I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she is? Please take her instead." And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be innocent in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm." So Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches. And he turned them tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he had set fire to the torches, he let the foxes go into the standing corn of the Philistines and set fire to the stacked corn and the standing corn as well as the olive orchards. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, this morning, just that we're here, Lord, to worship you. I'm thankful to be here with my brothers and sisters, God. And I pray, God, that as we look at this text, that we learn from it. There's a lot of application here today in this. We may not think there is, but there absolutely is. We see you working, you performing miracles. We see, God, Samson being obedient and getting on the same page as you. And God, that's what we need today. We need to be obedient and get on the same page as you for our lives and what your will is for us. And so, God, I pray this morning we do that. We learn from this. We learn from your word. We love you and thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hot week in the Ozarks, I know. We're definitely in the dog days of summer. And usually I always like to start off talking about how the week went. And it is really hot out. And sometimes when it gets this hot out, yeah. Children's Church, I always forget. Savannah, just wave at me or shoot me with a rubber band or something, right? Children's Church today. Second grade and below, who's doing it this morning? Jamie, okay. Jamie, shoot me with a rubber band, okay? Children, go downstairs, second grade and below. But this week when it gets hot, you know, it starts getting really, really hot. And what do we usually start saying? Oh, it's so hot. I can't wait till fall. I can't, winter? I don't, nobody usually says winter around here, but yeah, usually they say fall. But okay, winter's after fall. But you start wishing for like cooler weather. I can't wait till it gets cool. And I just, guys, I start thinking of stuff like that, and I think, you know, God gives us these seasons, and the older we get, it just, they run together. And I'm thankful it's hot right now. I don't know that I'm really looking forward to fall, because that means I'm a little bit older and something else is going to be going on. I think we just need to stop sometimes and enjoy exactly where we are, because here life is gone 1 second and it's a vapor. And this week, I know, like, one of our, if you're in your 40s or 50s, probably when you were a kid, you watched Hulk Hogan, right? I mean, all little boys when they were 40 and 50, oh, you love wrestling, you like Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, he passed away this week. He died, and you're like your childhood idols, and you look up to them, and you think, man, those guys are so strong, and he had those 24-inch pythons. I'm getting there slowly but surely, right? But he had these massive arms, but you think, I wonder if he is a follower of Christ. So I'd heard some things about Terry in years past, and I started doing a little digging, and I found a Facebook post from his pastor in Clearwater, Florida, that he was saved and baptized 2 years ago. And was a faithful member of his church. Like, he ministered to people. He was going out sharing the gospel with people. He had a lot of problems on the side at times, but it's faithful. You see this pastor say, we didn't know him as Hulk Hogan, we knew him as Terry, right? And I just got to thinking about that, like how quickly his life is over and how quick it's over. And we just don't have a long time to make an impact. And so I encourage you today, make an impact. Make an impact. And life, we're going through these seasons. One of the things I was going to say this morning, announcements, the kids, the children, the youth, they'll be moving up to their grades here in a few weeks. School will be starting again. I mean, it just goes by so quick. All right, on to this, the important stuff. Quick review from last week. I always want to do this in case you were gone or just to kind of catch you up. We're on Samson. We looked at the progression of sin with Samson. And how it started with him. And it started with his eye and went to his heart. It went to his actions, how he wasn't supposed to be walking through vineyards, and how he wasn't putting himself in a position of success at all. on to marrying somebody he wasn't supposed to marry, and then on now to killing 30 men. And so this sin is crouching at the door. We talked about that, how it's a roaring lion. Satan's a lion looking to devour us. And so sin is crouching at the door with Samson. We also talked about the deceit of the companions of Samson, that they were supposed to be, these men were supposed to be his best man and his groomsmen. They were supposed to be there for Samson. They didn't care for him. They didn't care anything. Samson had given them this riddle, and in the riddle there was a bet made, a wager, a fun wager for 30 changes of clothes. And these men went to Samson's wife day after day and said, if you don't tell us, we're ultimately going to kill you. We will kill you and your family if you don't tell us what this riddle is. They didn't care anything for Samson at all. So what does his wife do? His wife goes to Samson and says, Samson, tell me what the riddle is. You haven't told anybody. Tell me. Well, he finally, after 7 days, he tells her. And what does she do? She immediately tells the guys. And Samson loses the bet. So she didn't even care anything for Samson because she was a Philistine. They were supposed to be enemies of God. They were enemies of God. They were supposed to be Samson's enemies. Nope, Samson was trying to marry into them and be friends with them. And Samson, chapter 14, ends pretty much with Samson's wife being given without his knowledge to his best man. And now we're going to see in chapter 15, as we just read part of it, Samson's not happy. He is not happy. So this is going to come back to haunt these Philistines. So as we open chapter 15 here, Samson, after some days, he leaves because he loses the bet and he goes back home. And we don't know for sure a time frame. Now there's a little bit of debate on this, but we know that the Philistine men are busy with the harvest. We know that they're harvesting. And that would so Samson goes back. And he brings this peace sign as an offering to the father. He brings this a goat, the Bible says, to a young goat to the father. And he says, I will go into my wife in the chamber. And the father says, nope, you're not going in. Now, some people think that Samson here is just being shallow. And Samson is known for being shallow. Because he does, as we see later, he will hire prostitutes. And so some people think that, well, he's just going back because he wants to have sex with this lady and that he's supposed to be married to. And the only reason why he came back is to fulfill these lustful desires. I don't think so here. I don't think so. Because Samson, if he wanted to truly abandon Samson, he could have done that. And he could have went and just hired a prostitute, as you see Samson does numerous times. I think he really loved this young lady. He wanted to be married to her. And his love was all looking in all the wrong places, as we talked about. And so he goes back to take her as his wife. And now he's over being angry. He's not angry anymore about being betrayed. He has offered a gift to the father and is ready to settle down with this white picket fence and everything with this Philistine young lady. But remember, though, Samson has a plan. And his plan is, I'm going to go back and take this woman as my wife and I'm going to settle down. God has a completely different plan. He has a completely different plan. He's going to use Samson. He's going to use Samson for his will. And I want to start with that this morning. The first point, we got several today, is that even in our messes, in our sin, even when we're going a different direction that God wants us to go, he is going to use us, and we can't stop his will. We're not going to change God's will. Samson was not going to change God's will for his life. Well, what was God's will for his life? Well, you have to back up a couple chapters. When we open this in chapter 13, verse 5, what does it say? When talking about Samson being born, it says, he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. That was God's will for Samson's life. Not for Samson to make friends with them. Not for him to marry into the Philistines. But for him to go and kill them and defeat them and to save Israel. So Israel is in the hand of the Philistines. Why though? Why had God done that? Punishment. He was punishing Israel for doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 1 tells us that, in chapter 13. So God has this plan for Samson to start to free Israel from the Philistines, to destroy them. This child, Samson, was supposed to be set apart from everyone else, remember, in his Nazarite vow. He was literally a picture of, and there's a bunch of these in the Old Testament, of the Lord Jesus coming to save. Samson is coming to save Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to come and save the world from sin and death. So it's just a picture of God's going to use someone to bring salvation. The problem was, though, church, that Samson was on his own program. Samson wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wasn't being obedient. We talked about this. He wasn't being obedient to God in his Nazarite vow. Instead of making war with the Philistines, he's trying to marry into them and make peace. Was that going to change God's will for Samson? Nope. Not at all. Not at all. God's will is going to be done. We can either get on board with his will for our life, and it goes really smooth. And not always, but it will. Or you can be disobedient, and it's going to bring punishment. But God's will is not going to change. See, when we pray, when we get closer to God, it's to conform us to his will, not the other way around. It's for us to get on his program. And Samson hadn't done that yet. But even in Samson's sin and all the messes he was creating, God was in control. And God was still going to work. God was going to make sure that the Philistines were going to be destroyed and Israel was going to be freed. And he was going to use a big screw up at times who ignored the commands of God to do it. Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing because you know what? When I look in the mirror, 99.9% of the time, I see somebody who's messed up a lot. A big screw up. And you know what? I see all throughout the Bible, that's exactly who God used. He didn't use the polished, perfect people. He uses the ones that had messed up. Why do you think he did that? So that there was no doubt who was doing it. No doubt. So you hear this morning, you think, I've just screwed this thing up. I have messed up my life. There's no way that God can use me. That's exactly who he would use. I love that. I love it. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of God turning this around. Even though Samson was on his own program, God was still going to use him. That brings so much comfort. So much. Even when we're disobedient at times, even when we're in sin, God doesn't cast us aside. You know, he could have done that with Samson. He could have said, I'm not using you anymore. You want to go on your own program? Hit the curb. And God would have been justly and rightly in doing so. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He punishes Samson. You're going to see, Samson gets punished numerous times until he gets on God's plan. And ultimately, he struggles with the same thing his whole life, but he gets on God's plan. Listen, us being on God's plan or not, God's still, his will is going to be done. He is still going to work it out. Scripture tells us that all through. Psalms 94:19 says, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Even when you are in sin, he didn't kick you out, church. He doesn't say you're in 1 minute and out the next. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in. When you profess him as your Lord and Savior, you're in. And then you know what? He works. He works. He starts working. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says that the will of God is your, what? Sanctification. It should become more Christ-like. What do you think he's going to do with Samson? He's going to do the same thing with Samson. Samson has become, in this chapter, if you read the whole thing, which if we don't get through the whole thing today, read it this afternoon. At the end of it, Samson is following God. And he's doing what he's supposed to do. It's amazing. Samson, look, Samson wanted to make peace, so God works this out where his will is going to be done. And Samson's going to have to trust God to provide for him. Samson's going to get broken and to a point where I'm going to die if I don't call out to God. You're going to see it here in just a second. So what does he do? God changes how Samson views the Philistines. He has to change. You're wanting to be friends with them. Samson, I don't want you to be friends with them is what God's saying. I don't want you to marry them. I don't want them to be your buddies. I want you to destroy them because they're hurting my people and I want my people free. So what does he do? Now Samson finally here in verses 2 through 17, which you can read all of it later on. I'm not going to read it just for the sake of time, the whole thing. But Samson's eyes are changed now from how he views the Philistines. That's the second thing. The Philistines are now enemies in Samson's eyes. Finally, we get to the point where Samson sees them as enemies. Samson's father had already given his wife, Samson's father-in-law had already given his wife to the best man, which he should not have done. And Samson knew that. And he knows, and his father-in-law knows, I'm in trouble over this. I messed up. So Samson's father-in-law is like, he fears the Philistine leaders and Samson. So what's he try to do? I'm just going to offer you my youngest daughter. Take my youngest daughter. Not only is this insulting to Samson, but it's also illegal according to what? Hebrew law. But once again, would he have known Hebrew law? Nope. because he's a Philistine. Leviticus 18:18 says this, "And you shall not take a woman as a rival to her sister, uncovering her nakedness while her sister is still alive." What do you think would have happened if Samson would have taken the younger daughter as a wife? Oh, we got a big old fight going on in the household. Samson knew, "I can't do that." Samson's now seeing the Philistines as God wants him to. And now that his eyes have reverted from what Samson wanted to do to seeing how God wants him to see it, now you're going to see God start working using Samson. The next part of this is honestly the one of the most fascinating stories in the Bible, because I like to hunt, right? How many of you trap? Anybody trap? Hardly any trappers anymore. Me and Hunter have done a little bit of trapping. It's actually fun. PETA doesn't like it. PETA, I'm glad we're not recording today because audio, because PETA would not like this sermon, right? Because Samson goes out and catches 300 foxes. Now, anybody, fox hunting used to be a huge thing around here. Anybody ever went fox hunting? No, I see what I mean. It used to be really big, though, around here. We had a neighbor that used to have dogs, and they'd run foxes. I mean, it's foxes are hard to catch. Like, and they're hard to hunt. It's not. And these would have been jackals or foxes, is what this would have been. Samson catches 300 of them. 300. Now, okay, how in the world, and a lot of people question this, how in the world does this happen? How does Samson catch 300 foxes? Hey, God. Now, could Samson have gotten a big group of people together and said, "Hey, help me catch some foxes"? Maybe, but I doubt it, because Samson's a loner. You'll see later on, Samson likes to go off by himself a lot. He isn't usually around people very much. So now, here's the animal torturous part. He catches 300 foxes, and he ties their tails together. And he puts a slow-burning torch, between their tails. And he lights it on fire. And he sends them out, where? Into the Philistine fields. To burn all their corn and their grain, and all their olive vineyards. He burns up everything. I mean, that is an act of war now, because back then, food's a big deal. People starve to death. And Samson just made it where they're going to starve. He issues an attack on the Philistines. Why? Because the Philistines, he's now seeing them as their enemy. He's now seeing, "My father-in-law don't care about me. None of these people care about me." I don't know how he caught them. All I do know is that God was involved. So how did Samson catch the foxes? God. Maybe Samson had some help. I don't know. Maybe some people say, "What? It took a year for him to do that." I don't think so. Because at the beginning of the chapter, what are they doing? They're harvesting grain. So this is a miraculous thing. Because Samson burns up their grain fields. So this isn't a big lengthy time. Samson's mad because he lost the bet. And he goes home for a few days. Maybe a week. Maybe a couple of weeks. But they're still harvesting. He returns to get his wife. She's already been given away. So Samson gathers some foxes very quickly because they're still harvesting. And he burns the fields down. And why? How do I also know that it would be God? Because he works these situations out that are so drastically, no way that any way else that this could happen but God. Like anybody who's trapped or knows anything about it, there ain't no human way you're catching in a week 300 foxes or jackals. And trying to keep them all together in pens, you're talking about a big deal. It's God. God worked this out because God wanted the Philistines destroyed. And God's plan all along. Samson's going to destroy the enemy. And now he's working. First, he's going to starve them out. I mean, this is an act of war. This is what you do when you go to war. You destroy their communication and you try to starve them out. Starve them out of fuel, starve them out of food. That's still modern day warfare. Samson, this is an act of war. I'm going to starve the Philistines. I'm anxious. I'm going to burn all their stuff down. He's going to starve them. And now they are angry. Now the Philistines are upset because he's destroyed all of our crops. So what do? They hate Samson so bad, they go to the father-in-law and his bride, who was his wife. They had went through the week celebration, and they kill him. And they burn him to death. They burn him with fire. I mean, you talk about poking the bear. They have poked the bear. Now Samson is even more mad. But what's happening? Now he's seeing the Philistines exactly how God wanted him to see them. He sees that they're really my enemies. This was the will of God. So what's happened? Now they're on the same page. Now Samson's gotten on the same page with God. So what did it take, though? Guys, this is this part where we need to pay attention. It took heartache and loss for Samson to get there. Don't let it take heartache and loss for you to get on the same page with God. He will do that. He will wake you up. He will. Don't let it take that. It took heartache and loss for Samson to get there because of his disobedience. But now he's on the same page with God. And God's going to work in a mighty, mighty way. God's going to work. So what happens? Samson kills. Now, because his wife's been murdered, his father-in-law's been murdered, he's furious. He's furious. He sees 3,000. We'll get there. Israel goes down with 3,000 men. So Samson goes off to this cave. Bible says, let's go to 14 through 17. I want to read it. I don't want to explain the whole thing. Let's read it. 14 through 17. Well, in fact, let's back up just a little bit. Let's go to 9. No, actually, let's go to 7. I'll get there, I promise. And Samson said to them, if this is what you do, I swear I will be avenged on you, and after that I will quit. And he struck them hip and thigh with a great blow, and he went down and stayed at the cleft of the rock of Edom. Remember that. He goes down and stays at a cave. Then the Philistines came up and encamped in Judah and make a raid on Lehi. So the Philistines go attack some Israelites. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? And they said, we have come up to bind Samson, to do to him as he did to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is what you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. And they said to him, we have come down to bind you, that we may take you into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not attack me yourselves. They said to him, no, nor we will only bind you and give you into their hands. We will surely not kill you. So they bound him with 2 new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. And he found the fresh jawbone of a donkey, and he put it in his hand and took it, and he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have struck down 1,000 men. As soon as he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand, and he named that place Ramah Lehi. So, now what's happened? They're going to, 3,000 Israel troops, 3,000 men come down to take Samson captive, because they had been captured, or they had been attacked by the Philistines. So they're going to turn him over. They don't trust Samson. Now this is a drastic shift going to happen at the end of this chapter. They don't trust Samson. They've seen him go to the enemy to get married. These people, don't you know, Samson, there are conquerors, that there are oppressors, and you're going to marry them, Samson. What are you doing attacking them now? They don't trust him at all. They don't trust him. So they want to hand him over to the Philistines so that they won't be attacked anymore. And so what does Samson do? He agrees to go as long as they won't kill him, and they'll just hand him over. Scripture doesn't say, and I don't like reading in here, but I believe, really, when I look at this text, that where did Samson really get on the same page with God? When this, you see this all play out in the next 2 chapters. Samson goes to where? A cave. He goes by himself to a cave, and he starts spending alone time with God in this cave. He goes off by himself. I think he has some reflection here about what God really wants him to do. And he spends time. He's at this cave all by himself. I think of that, and I think, oh, how should we do that? Even if that's not even what Samson did. I don't want to read too much into it. I believe it is. But even if it's not, you getting on the same page with God, the easiest way to do that is spend alone time with Him. Spend time with Him. The best thing you can do. Whether that's alone in bed, that's at the table, alone on a tractor, alone driving a car, truck drivers, alone time in a truck driving. Hey, I like mowing the lawn. I mean, I've been mowing the lawn like every 4 or 5 days, sometimes when it doesn't even need to, because I just get out there and you're alone. And I mean, nobody can bother you. If they try to get too close to you, their feet would get cut off. I mean, you're by yourself. You can think. Some of the best sermon illustrations, ideas I come up with are sitting on a lawnmower. I mean, they are. They're just alone time with God, right? Spending alone time listening to His Word, reading His Word. Hey, look, it's not him getting on your page, it's you getting on his. That's what Samson was doing in a cave by himself, I believe. Samson's by himself. Listen, how do I know? We have an example. You know who set the example for us in that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did. In Matthew 14:23, it says, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Jesus did that a lot. He'd go off by himself, him and the Father. It's good. Samson is now on the same page as God, and he's going to do the Lord's work. And what was that? To defeat the Philistines. So Samson picks up a jawbone of a donkey, and he kills 1,000 men with it. I mean, I'm telling you, I can't even fathom that. But here's a major point. Who is witnessing all of this? Who's seeing all this happen? The Israelites. His people are seeing Samson now attack the Philistines. They see that God is doing amazing things through Samson, and that Samson is on their side. And I'm going to point out why that's very important here in just a minute. Now Samson has just killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Samson has to be physically exhausted. Anybody work outside this week at all? It's hot. I mean, you could be outside working this week and drink 5 or 6 bottles of water and never go to the bathroom because you're sweating so much. I mean, and if you don't, Samson's killing 1,000 dudes. He's not stopping to drink a bottle of water. He is exhausted. If you don't drink water when it's hot out, you get dehydrated very, very easy. I don't know if anyone here has ever experienced heat exhaustion. Anybody ever experienced heat exhaustion before? I mean, where you're just... You're dizzy, you have a headache, you're weak, your muscles are cramping, your body temperature starts to rise, your face is just beet red. The next stage after that is heat stroke, and you die. I mean, I remember in football, Mitch, remember this, you played football when we were younger, you don't need a water break, we need to do another drill, right? Not today, they take it serious. Like, it gets hot out, they send them for water 15 minutes, which is good. Like, you don't want kids getting heat stroke. Samson here is wore out, and he's about ready to die. Verses 18 and 19 say he's about ready to die because he's so exhausted from killing 1,000 men by hand. And what does he say? It's amazing. He says, "You have granted this great salvation by the hand of your servant." What is he doing? He's acknowledging that he didn't kill these 1,000 men. God did. He's now acknowledging that, God, you did this. He acknowledged that everything that was happening with him is done from God. What is Samson saying? God, you're great. You have saved me. You have worked this out. You see, this is a totally different train of mind or state of mind from 2 chapters ago of Samson going out and doing what he wanted to do. Totally different change of mind. What changed? What changed? Look at the text. You tell me. The only thing in the text that changed is Samson went to a cave by himself. He went alone time with God. And he got on God's plan. He got on board with God's will for his life. Now, God's going to work to raise him up. Now he's going to raise Samson up. Oh man. Get alone with God and get his will for your life. What is the will of God for all of us? This is universal. Enjoy Him. Enjoy creation. Enjoy the good things of God. Everything is good and perfect. It comes from above. Enjoy God. Worship Him as God. That everything, God, you worked this great salvation. That's what Samson's doing. You worship Him, and then you know what? You serve Him. You serve Him. God, I'm going to serve you exactly where I'm at right now. Now, that service may look different from all of us. For Samson, It was to kill a bunch of Philistines. That's what God wanted him to do. That's why God was working in him. That's why God gave him the strength. What was God's plan for Samson? Fight the Philistines. And then you know what else? It's amazing. What's the last verse in the text? And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. What had God done with Samson? He raised up a leader. He raised up a judge of Israel. And how was Samson going to judge anyone if they didn't trust him? God worked it out where Israel's now sees Samson. Samson's on our page. He's not trying to marry a Philistine woman. He's fighting the Philistines for us, to free us. God has raised up a leader. And Samson now starts serving God over the next 20 years as a leader of Israel, as the Philistines, as an enemy. Samson is now, for the first time, living out the plan that God has for his life. And for 20 years, you know what he's doing? Fighting Philistines. We don't have any more stories up till the next chapter when it kind of goes downhill for Samson again, which is on guard for us to watch out for besetting sins. Because Samson goes back. 20 years from now, he messes up again. And you're going to see, once again, God's going to get the glory. But during this period, Samson is on the same page. As I close this today, I thought of some questions. First one is this. I mean, basic questions that go along with Samson. Have I acknowledged that my salvation is from the Lord? Samson did that. Lord, you worked this out. You worked this salvation out. Have I acknowledged that my salvation is from the Lord? Listen, it's only by His mercy and grace that we have the opportunity to be here today. That's it. It's not because of my effort that I'm some kind of good guy. It's not by your effort that you're some kind of good guy. It's by God's grace and mercy. That's it. It's amazing. Have I acknowledged that? Have I acknowledged that He's the only way? Jesus is the only way. John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus says that. It's it. Only through Him. It's all Jesus and none of us. The salvation comes from God. It's from God. The next question, am I living out what God wants for my life? Am I loving Him? Am I enjoying Him? Am I worshiping Him? Am I serving Him? Am I giving God my best? Does He get my best? Or does something else get my best? And God gets the leftovers. You know what was getting Samson's best? His eyes for a long time. His desires. Now, you know what's getting his best? God is. And these are where you see the miracles working. Every time, listen, every time you see God work a miracle with Samson, every time, from here on out, every time, it's when he's in the will of God. When he's doing what God wants him to do. Every time. Am I? Am I serving myself? Am I serving the kingdom? When I'm serving myself, you know how much eternal reward and glory you get for that? Absolutely zero. None. When you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're serving Him, you're storing up treasure in heaven. You know what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:24? Nobody can serve two masters. He'll either hate one and love the other, to be devoted to one and despise the other. Can't serve two. Can't serve two. Samson can't serve his lustful desires and also fulfill the mission of God. He has to say, no more lustful desires. I'm going to serve God's mission. Now, his is lustful desires, but Samson's no different than any of us. Right? What's trying to get your attention? Maybe it's work. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's another relationship you shouldn't be having. I don't know. Whatever it is. When Samson is serving God and is in God's will, it goes well. It goes well. When he starts to serve his flesh, it goes bad. And there's conflict in himself. There's conflict with the people around him that he's supposed to love. Who are you serving this morning? Who's your master? You can only answer that. I can answer it for me. And I'll be honest with you, church, there's times where I don't give myself a good answer. But we serve a God that says, hey, get your focus back. That's what he did with Samson. Samson spent some alone time with God and he got his focus back. What are you focused on? I'm going to ask our worship team to come. Those are my questions today. We're going to see in a few weeks that Samson falls back into serving his flesh. And you know what happens? It costs him dearly. It costs him. When Samson gets back into his flesh, he gets his eyes put out. He goes to prison. And then you know what? When he cries out to God, God works again. God works again. Where are you at? Where are you at in this? I pray this morning that going through this chapter 15, you've seen some amazing things, how God will work when we're in His will. That listen, we're not going to change His will, but we can be broken when we're not in His will. And it can cost us. So quicker we say, God, I want to do what You have me do. And we submit to His authority, God works it out. I'm asking you to stand this morning. If you need to come, you can. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be more than happy to do that. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, this morning for Your word. Thank You for the opportunity to be here with my brothers and sisters today. It's amazing when you start studying this and thinking how this worked out, how You worked in every single way, and how it was all, You were going to do it. It was just, was Samson going to be obedient or not? And it's the same with us. Your mission is going to be accomplished. People are going to be saved. You're going to reach people that You want to be reached. Are we going to be in Your will? Are we going to do it? Are we going to fight You and having just messes the whole way through because we're not obedient? God, You let us get down on our knees and humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves and say, we need You, we need Your salvation, You do it. You do with Samson. All he said is, I'm so thirsty, I'm going to die. God, save me. Save me. And You did. You made water come out of a rock. It's amazing. You gave him drink. You nourished him. That's a picture of salvation through You. So God, I pray that we take this to heart this morning and we apply it. In Your name I pray. Amen.